The views and opinions expressed during the drive time are those of Dave Glover and his guests and are not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
Hey, thank you very much. It's Friday afternoon, TGIF, for those folks that were waiting for it. A lot of people in the summertime take Thursday. So if you commute from Toronto, you know what I'm talking about. A lot of people in the city I know do the old, I'm taking Friday off, which is kind of nice if you can bank those days off. Joining me in the studio this afternoon, Lou Rinaldi, the Member of Parliament, Provincial Parliament for Northumberland Quinte West. It's still Northumberland Quinte West. They haven't changed the boundaries yet. Maybe we'll ask Lou about that. And also in the studio with us as well is Rob Washburn. Of course, you can't have a guest like Lou without bringing in Rob, who's professor of e-journalism at Loyalist College. He is, of course, my regular co-host for Wednesday afternoons. Gentlemen, welcome to the studio. Very happy to have the both of you here.
Thank you.
And it's a beautiful hot day out there. So we've got the Love and Spoonful coming on to talk about hot time summer in the city. We'll talk to Lou about what that means because, of course, in Ontario, hydro is still a huge issue, and we'll be right back after the Love and Spoonful.
Hot town, summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirt and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk hotter than a match here. But at night, it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city. Cool town, meeting in the city. Dressed so fine and looking so pretty. Cool cat, looking for a kitty. Gonna look in every corner of the city. Till I'm wheezing like a bus stop. Running up the stairs, gonna meet you on the rooftop. But at night it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city.
Yeah, Love and Spoonful. You guys, it's one of those songs. From the year it was 1966, the same year I was born, Hot Time Summer in the City. And I'm sure my parents were thinking exactly that. Welcome to the show, Lou Rinaldi. Nice to see you again.
Good to be here.
We should talk about first before we do that. Anything else? How's the summer been going? I know you went away a little bit.
Summer was busy. I did get a chance to my wife and I and one of my kids and his kids, seven of us. We did take a holiday for a change, mm-hmm. and besides the normal 1 or 2 days, if we're lucky. And we went to Italy, where I was born. So my grandkids and my son and his wife got to see where their father and grandfather. I got, of course, I still got family there, so we got to mm-hmm. visit. It was fantastic. It was good.
Well, it's got to be different to visit Italy when you're going back, as opposed to just going there as a tourist. You don't do the touristy things. Obviously, you spend maybe you did, but I'm sure you spent a lot more time reconnecting with friends and family.
Well, we did do a little bit because my kids and grandkids never done that before, so that to me that was kind of repetitive. But nevertheless, it was fun. It was fun seeing my grandkids and my son enjoy that kind of stuff. But to me, the important thing was to. Eat and have some wine. Eat and have some wine with my relatives.
What was it like to show your grandkids your home? Because you came across when you were 12, right?
That's right. Yeah,
so
yeah.
What was it like to go back and show the grandkids your original home?
So my grandkids that came, the oldest was 15, 13, and 9. So it was about the same age that, mm-hmm. grandpa was there. Mm-hmm. They were quite at awe, that's where I came from. And I say, not just in Italy, but even here or other places, kids are so inquisitive today. Mm-hmm. I don't remember me being, quiet in a corner and, don't bother anybody. But these kids had so many questions. They were so involved. But it's not just my grandkids. I'm talking about kids in general. But my grandkids reflected that while we were there. So it was fantastic.
Well, and they got to meet their cousins and what have you.
Yeah, and the other piece is, English is almost like a second language there now. So any kid that's 15, 16, 17, and he's done any kind of schooling, mm-hmm. which they all do, they probably know a little bit of English. So in my father's side of the family, a couple of kids spoke some English, and they connect. But then there were some kids that had no English. They were at lower grades then. But it's amazing how these kids played together. They understood each other, whether it was mm-hmm. sign language or whatever. But it was a real highlight.
Well, it's nice to get away if you can do that. And yeah. Like you said, it's the first time, I think you said, in 8 years you've actually had a holiday.
Seven years, you've had
a full on completely get away from it all.
The thing is, I much to my wife's, not being too happy, I took my BlackBerry with me, so and my laptop, so that didn't go over very well. But you still got to stay connected. In mm-hmm. the work that we do, it's nice to know what goes on. So I was able to stay connected with the office, and it was good.
Well, it's a lot easier to do that now than when you were a kid, for instance.
Everywhere you go, they got Wi-Fi, so you just turn on your computer or your mm-hmm. BlackBerry and.
How's your summer been? I mean, what's been the big issue for you this summer? Not just, that you're hearing from your constituents. Is there one thing? Because I know we're going to talk about hydro and some other things, sure. but what are you hearing from people more than anything else right now?
So, I have this, a couple of things that happened. One, or that have happened. One, and I think Rob wants to talk about that later on. I'm part of General Government Committee, so we've been traveling the province to do with election finances reform. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, Monday morning we start a 4-day clause-by-clause review of potential changes mm-hmm. before it goes back to the House for second reading. So that kept me a little bit busy traveling Ontario. And then I'm also part of Public Accounts Committee, and that means that when the House is in session, I have the pleasure of sitting with a committee.
You get to be one of the bean counters.
With the Auditor General every mm-hmm. Wednesday, pretty well all day. And I just came back from Yellowknife. Every year, all the Auditor Generals and their, not all their committees, but some of their committees, get together in one central place. And the federal Auditor General and their committee, and it's an opportunity to share and adapt to make sure that what the folks in Ottawa talk about results and how they do things match some of the other provinces and territories. We're a little bit, although the intent is, the bottom line is same is to make sure that money is spent in an appropriate way. But we have different approaches, so we get to compare and see best practices. And that's always very, very informative. So that took me 4 days up in Yellowknife. And
I got to ask you that. I mean, that must have been an eyes-wide-open experience to sit on a committee like that. I mean, we know over the last decade or so, I mean, the province has had to deal with a lot of controversy, let's just call it what it is, with regards to some spending decisions or not spending initiatives. How has sitting on this committee maybe changed any of your perspective on any of that?
Well, you know, I'm going to say fortunate enough because it's been very interesting for me, although sometimes kind of challenging, but very interesting. I was appointed when I got reelected in 2014, so that was one of my committee appointments. And so I've been at it now for 2.5 years. And, you know, the issues change, but at the end of the day, you know, you still try to come. And it's a committee that's, although there's five government members, three official opposition, and one from the NDP, it's a committee that tries to deal on consensus. We very, very seldom vote for anything. So as we review reports from the Auditor General and we make recommendations to different ministries, and then we do follow-ups to make sure those recommendations are followed through, when we do the report writing, it's all done by consensus. So it's just, you know, almost unbelievable because a government is very partisan. You know, let's not beat around the bush. It is very partisan. Now,
but numbers can't be partisan, right? I mean, the bottom line is numbers are nonpartisan.
But with fairness, you could read numbers in different ways, right? So what is it? How do you want this to read? But now there's still, you know, differences, and a member could write, you know, an addendum to the report that they really didn't agree, but in general. So it's been...
What does the Auditor General do, just for those who may not be familiar with the role of the Auditor General?
So the Auditor General, in general, I mean, it's a huge task. She has quite a huge staff, well over 100 people that work in that process. So every once a year, she does an audit of government spending. You know, whether how budgets beat fiscal spending. By her own accord, her own decision, and sometimes maybe it's driven by things that pop up during the year, she'll pick different sectors, whether it's, you know, economic development, whether it's education, and she'll do a detailed accounting audit of that particular ministry or agency that she can do. And those are the ones that normally obviously get the attention because that's where they drill down. It's not a matter that saying that, okay, the Ministry of Education, it's very close to the budget commitment and it's done that. But it actually drills down on how that money is spent. Mm-hmm. Did it deliver the programs that it said it was going to deliver and those kind of things.
Out of all the recommendations that an Auditor General makes in the report, how many does your committee implement in the preceding year?
So what
percentage?
Committee doesn't implement. Committee recommends with maybe a stronger voice than the Auditor General does. And I would say that probably, you know, both the recommendation from the Auditor General and the committee's report recommendation, I would say probably 95% or higher.
Why then is it not just automatic that once the recommendations come through, they're implemented so that we know that these kinds of reforms take place? Yeah, why is it only recommendations?
Well, they do. In general, when the Auditor General does a detailed report on something, they do. What the committee's role is to make sure that those recommendations have been followed through. And then if they're not, then we stress even more recommendations. Okay.
All right, well, we're going to take our first break of the hour. And when we come back, more of our conversation with Lou Rinaldi. By the way, the phone lines are open. If you'd like to give us a call at 905-372-2321 or 905-372-2391, give us a call and we will take your calls. I've got the door open. Don't worry, folks. There's no one to answer the phones but me. So if you call while we're on the air, I will put you on hold. All righty, so we'll be back after the break.
In a world overpopulated with late-night TV shows, how about a radio one?
Hi, I'm Pat Quigley, and I'm the host of Tomorrow Tonight, where every week myself and a different co-host talk about interesting topics, play games, listen to some awesome music, and ask some all-important questions. Heck, we'll even take your tweets and read them live on air. You know, if they're good enough. And if you send us any.
That's Tomorrow Tonight. Check them out Saturday from midnight till 2, only on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.
Beat the hot, humid weather this summer with Pritchard's Climate Care. Have your home cool and comfortable by installing an air conditioner from Pritchard's Climate Care starting at only $2,800. For a free estimate, call 905-885-8216, 905-885-8216, or visit their website, pritchard-mechanical.com. At Pritchard's, we're not just your climate care experts, we're your neighbors.
Come out and enjoy a fabulous movie-going experience at the Rainbow Cinemas.
Playing August 26th to September 1st, Florence Foster Jenkins, Nine Lives, Ben-Hur, all rated PG. Mechanic Resurrection, rated 14A.
The Rainbow Cinemas are located in the Northumberland Mall, 1111 Elgin Street West. Give them a call, 905-372-2444, or visit rainbowcinemas.ca.
Do you like radio broadcasting and want to learn more? Volunteer with us at Northumberland 89.7.
And welcome back to The Drive Time. It is Friday. Still no word from Pete Fisher as to whether he's coming in for our Life in the Fishbowl. Hope he's here. Joining me in the studio right now, though, is MPP Lou Rinaldi, the Member of Provincial Parliament for Northumberland. Sorry, I want to say Northumberland, Peterborough South, but it's Northumberland, Quinty West.
In a couple of years.
Soon, but
in
not
a couple
yet.
Of years.
Soon, by the in the next election, perhaps. And, of course, Rob Washburn, Professor of E-Journalism at Loyalist College, is here as well in the studio. Now, I did ask you a question a little earlier, and maybe I forgot the answer, but I don't think we actually got the answer, which was, what is the one issue you're hearing from? You've been very busy. I know full-time job being a member of parliament in the constituency, but what are you hearing this summer?
So, I mean, when I come back, and I mean, we talk about provincial stuff, but locally here, obviously, hydro rates have been a component. Healthcare has been a component. Jobs to some extent, and, you know, it's... you know, you always try to achieve the ultimate goal where everybody has a job, and that, you know, that I mean, even though the unemployment rate in Ontario is one of the lowest in Canada or below the federal average, it's still not enough. There's you know, over 6% of the people unemployed, and I understand some of that. Those people, they're probably not employable because of their health issues or whatever. I get that, but you know, the goal is to try to. To get everybody. I think everybody wants to work if they can. You know? So it's to find that.
Well, let's talk about hydro then, because something. And again, this is pardon my ignorance, listeners. This is something I didn't even realize. You know, because I get my hydro from Lakefront Utilities, but apparently the rates outside of Cobourg, and including into Port Hope and what have you, are substantially higher, especially if you're getting it directly from the province. So
when I said the hydro is one of my you know, issues, we're not going to beat around the bush. It's there, and I should have maybe clarified Hydro One hydro issues.
Yes,
because I certainly don't hear from Lakefront Utility customers. I the odd one. I shouldn't say never. You know, I don't hear from even Hydro One customers that Hydro One services in urban. Like, for example, Quinty West, the city itself, that the core. I don't hear from the folks from Port Hope now. They got a utility. It's not Hydro One.
Viridian.
Yes. Yes. Thanks very much. So I don't hear from Viridian customers. It's the Hydro One customers that mostly serves rural.
So areas. What do you think is? I mean, what's the disparity there? Why is it so much higher from the province directly than through a private provider?
So the disparity is that, you know, it's the same old story. It's numbers. So I use my street as an example. And I should clarify, I live in Brighton, in the rural part of Brighton. And I live in a road that's a country road that's about a kilometer and a half in length. And there's, I think, 12 houses. Right? So... normally, a kilometer and a half road would have maybe 200 houses or, you know, 100 houses. So the distribution piece is what makes a huge chunk of our cost. And it's aggravating when I only use, you know, and I'm just going to pick numbers out of the air here, 3 kilowatt an hour for the month, and my delivery charges are still, you know, way up there. So that's a dilemma. It's a dilemma that So that's one piece. The other piece in general in the whole hydro pricing is the cost of the actual energy itself to produce it.
Well, some people are concerned about this new carbon tax that's being brought in by the province or whatever it's cap and trade, whatever they want to call it. And the fact that that's actually being taxed as well on top of the bill.
So that's a bit separate. But let me just get into the generation part, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Ontario, it's the first jurisdiction in North America to get off coal. We know the result that happened pretty quickly. I mean, we didn't have to wait decades. We haven't had any smog days in the last 3 or 4 years. Zero. Zilch. When we're burning coal, we had at least 5 or 6 years. And you look at a year like this year, we had extreme heat.
Mm-hmm.
Zero smog days. I mean, they had heat warnings, you know, temperature warning. But so, we also know that the cheapest way to generate electricity is coal. So now we have other jurisdictions, with the exception of a couple, where their main source of generation is through hydro generation with water.
Well, all that sounds really good, but we just had the Citizens Coalition from Hamilton Township down a couple of weeks ago being interviewed, and they have very few industries up there. One of the things that they're concerned about is one of their few industries says they can't afford the hydro rates because they're so high through these costs that you've described. So, I mean, on one hand, it's wonderful that we're not having smog days. But when we're looking at, you know, you were talking earlier about jobs and economic development. Here's an industry that's being mm-hmm. threatened. What do you say to them?
Well, I've met with a couple of just in the last 3 or 4 weeks, manufacturers here in Copenhagen. That's what we talked about. So for some of the larger manufacturers, and I know that doesn't reflect on us here so much, there's some special incentives. The province right now, the Ministry of Energy, is as we speak, as a matter of fact, we're looking at ways to expand that in the industrial sector to make them somewhat more affordable. One of the pieces when it comes to industry is there's a charge that the user doesn't have a lot of control over,
mm-hmm.
and that's a huge problem because it's hard to budget, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that varies. So, as late as a week ago, I had a good discussion with Minister Thibault, the new Minister of Energy, and that's from an industrial perspective. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that. We're looking at ways to address it.
But if I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but if we offer a sweet deal for industry, which, again, I guess we got to keep industry, we got to offer them a sweet deal, the additional cost then falls to...
Somebody's got
to
pay.
Somebody's got to pay, ultimately, So, I mean, on one hand, I'm hearing from the province, okay, so we don't have coal, so the increased price, of course,
That's not the only, you know...
No, I get that, but what I'm hearing is that the increase in price is the price you pay for cleaner air. That's one thing. The other thing that we're not really hearing about from the province, of course, and maybe this is something that listeners need to hear about, because John Ford and I have talked about it on our show, the real huge cost for hydro is the fact that a lot of it is from these older... And a lot of it is nuclear, which, of course, is the cheapest, but it's also and sometimes the costliest to maintain to try and keep those things going to the rate that they are. So there's the additional cost of that that has gone far beyond the cost that was proposed when they were built. So that's something consumers need to be aware of. And the other real issue for Ontario is we don't have any, you can't store the energy, right? But there's nowhere to store it. Because the one complaint you hear from people is, oh, they're giving energy away to the other states. They're getting it for cheap, the other provinces. We could just get it from Ontario or Quebec by running hydro lines. But the reality is, you know, there needs to be a solution when it comes to alternative energy and whether or not we can store this energy. Is that something the province is working on?
There's about 50 projects right now for that the province is involved with the private sector to develop storage, you know, through water, through magnetic flywheels, through a number of other initiatives, which, frankly, I'm not a technician into that piece. So, and I think, you know, for example, you hear a car manufacturer like Tesla that supposedly is making some great advances.
Mm-hmm.
We have to see them, and then we'll see what happens. But the other piece we're leaving out of the picture that I think it's very, very important. That when we talk about, you know, the cost of energy, is that reliability. All right? So I just, you know, I just want people to turn the clock back about 12 years back. And with brownouts and blackouts.
Mm-hmm.
Those are almost, I'm not saying they don't happen, unless there's a, and I'm talking about outside the storm piece, mm-hmm. okay? When storms happen, we have no control sure. over that. But I'm talking about regular, you know, maintenance issues to do. So when I talk to industry folks, I go, so when was the last time you had to shut down? You know, when was the last time that mm-hmm. your equipment was damaged because of a brownout? So we have to be honest with ourselves. There's a cost attached to that. You know, we built a distribution system 50, 60 years ago, and then we walked away. And I will say this to anybody in rural communities. As you're driving down those country roads, like when I go home at night or leave in the morning, look at the number of new hydro poles on new hydro lines. We just take that for granted. You know, they're not the poles are leaning over anymore. There's an enormous amount of refurbishment that was long overdue. And, of mm-hmm. course, when you let things go, when you go and do it, same as your leaky roof, it costs you twice as much. So all that stuff adds to the mix. So we see other jurisdictions now, for example, that are getting off coal, that their energy costs are going up. But Ontario is somewhere in the middle, mm-hmm. upper end of the pack.
But if you are talking to a senior who's on a yeah. fixed income,
yes.
and all of your rationale makes lots of sense. Sure, to hear you say it, common sense. But to somebody who's on a fixed income,
yep.
this really hurts. And people are leaving their homes. They can't afford their homes and their independent living because they just can't afford the hydro. So what do you say to those people?
So first of all, if those seniors or individuals, not just seniors,
yep.
right, are of a fixed income, of a low
yep.
income,
yep.
there's a program right now to help them with hydro rates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have to apply.
Yep.
And if they qualified, and it's strictly income-driven, and the number of people in that home,
yep.
they get out somewhere between $15 and $75, depending on their usage and the number mm-hmm. of people in the home. So there is a program to try to help those folks out.
But even across the province, there was a report just recently released saying that there were 60,000 residential customers in 2015 were disconnected because they couldn't afford mm-hmm. their hydro bill. 60,000 people. What do you say to them?
Well, it is a challenge. I'm acknowledging there is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
There's no easy solution. I mean, one solution we could do
mm-hmm.
is what a previous government did and hid the cost. And now, you know, it took us 20 years to pay for a stranded debt. I mean, somebody still got to take or artificially kept the rates low. I remember three cents a kilowatt hour,
mm-hmm.
You know, and then plus we got a $200 check before an election
mm-hmm.
that came from Hydro One.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? It looked good,
mm-hmm.
but we're paying for it today.
Okay, so really what people need to understand, and this is something, again, I'm glad I talked to John Ford about this because he and I are actually going to be talking about hydro and energy on our next broadcast. Here's the thing, listeners, that you need to remember. Everybody who comes home wants to be able to turn the lights on. They want to be able to afford to turn the lights on. And really what we're paying for, from what I understand, listeners, is the ability to be able to turn on your lights and your air conditioning on the hottest day, which of course is the peak energy day.
Right.
And so that may happen three times a year, but we have to be prepared for that as a province. And this is something
exactly.
that the government has been saying. You know, you referred to brownouts earlier. One of the reasons we were having brownouts is because we hit that peak and breakers started going because we weren't prepared. We weren't ready for that. So in order to, and you know, I know what seniors are going through because like I said, I'm on a fixed income. I'm on ODSP. I know what it means when the hydro costs go up. And yeah, I struggle, but it's no solace for me, but I know it, that in order for me to be able to count on the fact that on the hottest day of August, when we've had a record heat in the summer, that I can turn on my air conditioning if I need to. And I can, you know, ease my breathing. But there are people out there that aren't able to do that. And that is really a huge concern for a lot of people. So, you know, it's a fine balance the province has to walk. And I'm not offering any excuses. And I know if you're out there suffering, listeners, that you're thinking, this guy's, we're getting a call coming through right now. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll take this call. I'm Dave Glover. You're listening to The Drive Time on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7.
In a world overpopulated with late-night TV shows, how about a radio one?
Hi, I'm Pat Quigley, and I'm the host of Tomorrow Tonight, where every week myself and a different co-host talk about interesting topics, play games, listen to some awesome music, and ask some all-important questions.
Heck, we'll even take your tweets and read them live on air. You know, if they're good enough. And if you send us any.
That's tomorrow tonight. Check them out Saturday from midnight till 2, only on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
As always, Cameco is pleased to be supporting local initiatives and talent in our community. As such, Cameco is pleased to support Northumberland 89.7 FM Music in Motion Concert on September 1st at the Victoria Park Bandshell in downtown Coburg from 7 p.m. to 9. Bicycle-powered music, bikes, beards, and bandshells. Come out and enjoy a great evening of fun and music with special guest 2015 Juno Award winner Kiki Escamilla. Come on down and pedal your way to a better you.
Northumberland 89.7 and Music in Motion wishes to thank the Jailhouse Tavern and Inn for their support in this upcoming event. Bikes, Beards, and Bandshell taking place September 1st at Victoria Park in beautiful downtown Coburg. An event designed to pedal your way to a healthier you. An opportunity where we can save energy and power an event using pedal power. Visit the Jailhouse Tavern and Inn, 77 Albert Street, or give them a call at 289-252-1913, thejailhousetavern at gmail.com.
We're the radio station that's all about Northumberland. Listen every day for local news, interviews with local newsmakers, music by local artists, and so much more. We are Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
And welcome back to the Drive Time, everybody. Now, guest in studio, Lou Rinaldi, the member of Provincial Parliament for Northumberland, Quinte West. And joining us on the line is our good friend from Port Hope. Ed, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing?
Oh, I think somebody left one of the lines.
Hello?
Are you there, Ed?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, sounds like your phone's off the hook somewhere.
Oh, I think I'm good.
I don't know where that is. All right, you have a question and or comment.
Well, my comment is, so once again, this is all the consumer's fault. Evidently, we want lights, we want all this stuff, so we got to pay for it. Once again, the government is not taking any responsibility for all the waste and everything that happens. We all hear about and know about the ridiculous costs and the ridiculous waste that happen at Ontario Hydro. There's things that happen there that could keep 10, 15 households in Hydro for a year just because somebody doesn't really care. It's not their money. It's somebody else's money. And it always ends up being our fault. Why is that? Why will the government not take any responsibility for the fact of the massive waste in wages and kickbacks and payouts and all this other stuff, equipment that's never used that you pay 10 times as much for? Why will the government not take any responsibility for that kind of stuff?
So you want to take responsibility for the waste? But
if they took responsibility for most of the waste that would happen, I mean, ridiculous amounts of waste that go on there.
Okay,
millions of dollars.
No, I hear you, and I want you to hold that contempt, and I want you to call me right back because we're having a problem. We're not hearing you, and I don't know if the listeners are even hearing you at this point, but we're not hearing you through our headphones, and thus Lou and our Rob here can't hear you as well. Can I get you to call right back?
Okay.
Thanks, Ed.
Okay.
All right, so obviously we're having a little problem with our phone line right now, and 2321 or 2391, probably go with the 2321. I will answer the line. You're going to go live to air. So one of the things Ed was saying is, you know, it seems to me like there has been generation, really, of waste at Hydro. And I don't know that he's necessarily blaming your government in particular. Are you there, Ed?
Yep.
Okay, there he is. He's back. Okay, we got him. Here we go. All right, so am I paraphrasing you correctly here? That
well, you're half right. Yeah, I am blaming their government. They don't get off the hook.
Well, I'm not saying they do.
But I am blaming them for waste.
Okay.
I want the waste
can hear a little bit.
Stopped. You know, it's ridiculous. The some of the wages of the top executives that probably do nothing on a day-to-day basis could keep blocks and blocks of houses running on Hydro. You know, they say, you know, I get the impression here, oh, we got all kinds of new telephone poles and we got all this other stuff. you know, like, what do you say to somebody that's got to decide between food and hydro?
So your point, though, is that basically...
I want the government to be responsible for the waste. I want Lou Rinaldi to get up and say, we're going to watch these guys like a hawk. We're going to have an auditor there that's going to make sure they're not buying vehicles that they don't use. They're not paying 10 times the amount for a rent. That when guys go to work, they get paid for what they do, but not for not being at work. You know, it's like this is the waste that goes on at Ontario Hydro. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
No other business could function that way, and no wonder they're in problems. Why won't this government stand up and finally say, this has got to stop?
Well, there you go, Ed.
Okay. Well, thanks, Ed. Good to hear from you again. Well, it's true, because, I mean, you know, I'm not going to be here to defend, things that you've said or defend government. There is waste. And, you know, the bigger the government, the bigger the waste. I remember my municipal days when, you know, my level of government only had about 4,000 people that I looked after in former Brighton Township, you know. So, and then as I seen it, we amalgamated with Brighton, it was bigger. And then at the county level, it was bigger. And obviously at the provincial level, sometimes I wonder how the hell do we function, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe sorry for the word that slipped out there, but it's a reality.
Okay, but you work on as part of the audit committee.
Yes.
And
yes.
Obviously the hydro is an issue that they've been looking at. Yeah. Is the provincial, because again, and I want to, you know, again, Ed, I understand, you know, you're blaming this government.
Yeah, but well, no, they're part of the problem.
This is the point I want to make, and the issue really is that, you know, we had a model in this province, the Adam Beck model for hydro, that was created by the government, that was managed by the government, but for nearly 100 years, it was managed, and I'm going to use the term, piss poorly. A lot of waste at the top, a lot of money got squandered, a lot of pockets got filled in the really early days, but as we moved closer and closer and closer to ultimately turning it into part of the free market, it seemed a whole lot of people had their hands in the cookie jar, and there's been nobody sort of held accountable for this. And now it's come to this provincial government, this Liberal government, to say, hey, you know what? We got to fix this. And what is the fix?
So one of the things that, and I agree with you, I mean, for example, labor contracts, I mean, some of the best pensions, you know, that public pensions that we have are within the hydro sphere. For example, in some of the unions, and, you know, they were legally negotiated. I'm not disputing the fact that anybody said that. I mean, the 5-to-1, like $1 contribution from the employee, 5 times from the public. I mean, unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
So some of those things we've been trying to reverse as we negotiate. As a matter of fact, some new employees, and I don't have the details, I apologize, both from OLG and Hydro One have been renegotiated to, as we move forward, some of those benefits have been scaled down.
I don't think that's the waste that Ed's talking about, though. He's talking about huge salaries. He's talking about people like Clitheroe, for instance, who was in and looked as though it was in strictly. Public service seems to be the last thing on anyone's mind when it comes to the public utility. How is that mentality going to be changed?
Well, you know, we're introducing, for example, the legislation that's in place right now to control executive salaries, to cap, based on a formula, so that was never there before, and you're going to see that I believe this year is going to start rolling out, that to deal with both, hydro, to deal with hospital executives, to deal with a number.
When are these programs due to come out? Like, I want to know what is this government going to do to control my hydro rates for this winter?
Well,
okay, like, what is going to happen that I can actually afford to heat my house?
Well, Ed, I wish I'd have a magic wand, because I'm in the same boat as you are. I don't have it. And if for me, and I'm going to be really, really honest with you, because I'm not going to be around the bush, if we're all going to sit here and argue that tomorrow our hydro rates are going to go down, I think I'd be leading you down a garden path. What my goal is, and I said this a number of times, as a matter of fact, I was just talking to some farmer groups just this afternoon. My goal is to control the cost of hydro, in this case. That's what we're talking about. because we're seeing increases, whether it's through distribution or hydro rates, every 6 months. And that part has to come to a halt. So, and that's my goal, and I think that's where we're striving to go.
Well, it gets frustrating as a consumer because all I hear is, yes, everybody's aware there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nobody's come up with a solution.
So.
You know, nobody's even like I say, I'm getting sick of being blamed for everything. Okay, just because I'm a consumer and I want the lights on doesn't mean it's my fault that all this stuff is going on. The waste, the absolute waste. I mean, you got contracts out there where people got solar panels and they're being paid way more money than what the hydro can get sold for. Like, how does this happen?
Well, back to the solar panel or wind or whatever you want, you know, the green energy piece, it's certainly an industry that Ontario, at least in Canada, is the leader of right now. That's created a number of jobs. There were some initial high costs that we paid. Mm-hmm. But right now, for example, in a solar installation, the rate to generate solar is about equivalent to gas generating electricity.
Again, because a lot of those sweet deals, and that's what they were known as, sweet deals back then, are no longer sweet deals.
But that's right. But
there was an and if you remember, Ed, there was expiry on that. Those deals were in place for six years, if I remember. Well, that's those 6 years are gone now.
Well, that's I'm all for solutions.
I just
get tired of having the consumers and the public blamed for everything. And
I look back at it, and
as far as we can see, we everybody, you try and cut back on your hydro, and they raise the rates.
Well, John Ford and I have talked about that on our show as well, if you've listened to us. I mean, the less you use, the more expensive it becomes, right?
Absolutely. In my business, I see all the time broken washing machines. Broken washing machines because people won't use hot water on their loads because they're trying to save hydro, and it ends up costing them three times as much for me to come over and fix the washing machine because they didn't use the hot water and the soap all built up. And you know,
interesting. I never even thought about that.
Oh, it happens all the time.
Well, I want to thank you for your call, Ed.
Yep. Okay.
Appreciate it.
That was Ed from Port Hope. We are going to go to our last break of the hour. When we come back, we got 10 minutes left, so hopefully we'll be able to squeeze something in there. I'm sure you are waiting for with bated breath. I'm Dave Glover. This is The Drive Time, Canada's only holistic political chat.
Hi, this is Andrea Johnson. I'm very happy to announce that with my husband, David Long, we have created Northumberland 89.7's first husband and wife radio show. Isn't that right, David?
That's right, Andrea.
Every Wednesday from noon until 1, we will be discussing life, relationships, and all things great. Isn't that right, David?
That's right, Andrea.
So, join us and our many guests as we chat candidly about true life events, struggles, and experiences. You can do the next part, David.
Thanks, Andrea. The Soul Kitchen, noon until 1 every Wednesday. Radio for the heart and soul on Northumberland 89.7. It should be local radio.
Deep within the Northumberland Forest, there is a secret. Created by the spring-fed artesian wells of Mill Valley and bottled by Oak Ridge Springs, Mill Valley is a sodium-free, premium spring water rich in naturally occurring electrolytes and minerals. Visit oakridgesprings.com to discover which of their local retailers carry this natural, pure spring water, or reach them at 905-349-3495.
The growing season is upon us, so come out Saturdays from 8 to 1 and experience all that the Port Hope Farmers Market has to offer. Come pick from a variety of fresh local fare or choose from a selection of fine quality meats, cheeses, organic plants, handmade crafts, and more. See you at the Port Hope Farmers Market every Saturday, located behind Town Hall. Or visit our Wednesday market, noon to 5 p.m., at Gilmer's Home Hardware on Toronto Road. Or go to porthopefarmersmarket.ca and like us on Facebook.
Keep your dial locked right here on 89.7, truly local radio.
And welcome back to The Drive Time. Well, we were going to move on from hydro, but we do have another caller on the line who'd like to talk to us about hydro. We've got 8 minutes left on the bottom line of the show, so welcome to the broadcast. What's your name?
Paul.
Paul, welcome to the show. You had a question?
Not so much a question, more of a comment on those hydro rates. I don't know, I can't find anyone who even wants to bother listening to me about my hydro rates.
Where do you live, Paul?
Garden Hill.
Okay.
Hydro One provider. And I've done a rate comparison with many of the neighbors in the neighborhood, and ever since my smart meter's been put in, you know, my hydro rate's been extraordinary high. And, you know, I can't get a reasonable explanation out of anyone.
So I'm waiting on a question. I know you're looking for a reasonable explanation. What is the question? Is it because of the smart meter that your rates have gone up, or you're wondering?
There's no authoritative figure in Hydro One, and, you know, I keep going to Hydro One with this complaint, you know, about the rates being so high. You know, I'm compared my neighbors billing, and it's usually about $150 a month higher than my neighbors, and there's more people living in their household. They're further down the road. There's more hydro poles in between the last transformer and their place,
mm-hmm.
and yet my rates are always higher than everybody else's. I've gone to Measurement Canada. I've gone to Hydro One. I've had many people come out. I've had the electricians come out, and nobody can give me an explanation of why my hydro rate's been so high. Like, now the estimated monthly billing cycle is $485 a month. And at the moment, I'm a living single guy. You know, I can't afford that.
Have you asked them to come out and switch the meter out, maybe bring in a new meter? Is that?
Yes, I did. I even had Measurement Canada take the meter off and take it in for 6 weeks, and they said it'd come back at 107% approval rate. That 7% was my beneficiary.
Okay, because again, I can't figure out why your hydro rates would be. So, Lou, you got any?
Well, just a couple of.
I've actually been to Lou's office, and I took my bills in there about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And I got passed back to Hydro One, and you know, left with no reasonable answer. I don't even have hydro service anymore on my property because I can't afford it.
So when you compare with your neighbors, Paul, it's Lou. When you compare, do you compare usage or just the size of the bill?
Everything.
So for the same amount of kilowatt hours, you're paying more than they are?
Yes.
And no.
They have had higher delivery charges. They have had more kilowatt usage. There's more people in the house, in their household, than mine. There's more appliances. I have a house that's under construction, and, you know, I've been forced to put it on hold because I can't get these hydro rates straightened out. I'm only living with three appliances in the house.
So,
and yet the rates are extraordinarily high.
So, Paul, it's Lou again. So let me say this to you, because this is a specific issue here. So has my office gone back to you at all?
Kind of.
Okay. So can I make this commitment to you that on Monday, I don't know if you want to give your last name over the air.
You know what we're going to do, Paul? We're going to see if we can't get you some help with Lou at Lou's office. So I'm going to turn your mic down. You're still going to be on hold. All right, and then we're gonna. I'll
leave his name and number.
Well, I'll get your name and number, and you guys can chat amongst yourselves while I do that. Why don't you do that, Paul? I really appreciate your call, though, and so I'm gonna put you on hold. All right.
All right. Thanks.
You know, it's one of the things that's really interesting about this and other things is that, you know, we talk about the situation and we're empathetic and all those kinds of things, but people have real problems, and we haven't really heard. I think one of the things Ed was looking for was timelines. When can we expect to see something from the government that's going to make a difference? And is there a date that we can associate that with?
Sure. And, you know, I can't give you a date. I mean, this is a huge challenge. I think that's what we've been talking about. If there was an easy solution, we would have done a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got to pay for the, you know, the delivery and the generation through OPG. But we recognize that there's an issue. I'll be honest with you. It's been one of the top priorities within our caucus that we need to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And the challenge is predominantly in rural communities.
Mm-hmm.
In large cities, in urban centers like Cobourg, Port Hope, Quinte West, it's not a big issue. So, I mean, one of my ideas that I floated through our caucus, I mean, at one time, we used to have a special rate for rural Ontario. So that's one of the ways.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to bear in mind that once we get the special rate, somebody else has to pick up that slack, because, you know, the costs don't just evaporate.
Okay.
So that's one of some of the things that we're talking about.
Some of the things that the Citizen Council from Hamilton Township talked about was there's going to be some consultations locally that various ratepayers associations can come forward and people from the public can come forward. Coming up this fall, have you got any firm dates at all about that, or is that just a municipal initiative?
Maybe it's something locally. I haven't heard. Not to say that they haven't called my office, but I certainly haven't heard.
Okay.
Well, I want to thank you for being in the hot seat this afternoon, Lou. It is a hot day, so we will call it the hot seat. Thanks for the callers, by the way, Ed and Paul, who both called in. If you tried to call in and were unsuccessful, I'm sorry. As I say, we don't really have anyone manning the phones for us right now here. If you'd like to volunteer for that spot, hey, no problem. I'm always looking to talk to people who might be interested in coming. Lou Rinaldi, always a pleasure. We will get you in here because I really do want to talk to you about healthcare in the province, the new doctor's situation with them and their salaries. Rob Washburn, of course, will be back next week for our weekly installment of Consider This live on the Drive Time, which is our heard here on Wednesdays. Here's a place to stand. Just a song to remind you. This is the Ontario song for those of you that grew up in Ontario. This is from 1967. We'll be back after the news.